good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and today we're going through the Bible, which is what we usually do here on this program. I call this program Cross the Border because I'm not greater than my master. He preached a gospel message, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." So he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and there is no other gospel message. And he said, "This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole earth. Then will the end come." So I preach, because apparently the end has not come yet. As soon as it may be, it may happen within the next 50, 60 years, but it is not yet. So I preach, and I bid all, everyone, everywhere, to enter into his kingdom and obtain eternal life, to leave the realms of darkness and to walk in the light. His kingdom, as the Master put it, it is at hand. It is within your reach. So reach out and grab a hold of the kingdom of heaven and enter in and remain in his kingdom for the duration of your mortal existence. Again, he said, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." And that means that you endure in his kingdom, crucifying the deeds of the flesh. And I know that sounds to the world, that sounds like something that nobody wants to do, to crucify the deeds of the flesh. You know, people love the deeds of the flesh too much. But what he wants you to crucify are all of those unlawful deeds, everything that is against or contrary to his law, for which you need to repent and change your mind about those things. Yes, you can still live your life. Yes, you can still enjoy the good of all your labor under the sun. But to crucify those things that are not pleasing to the Almighty, that is what we desire if we are in his kingdom. And it's that desire that brings you into his kingdom. And learning to do that, to crucify those deeds of the flesh, to walk in his kingdom, to be obedient to his commandments, because you love him and you want to live your life in a way that's pleasing to him. The kingdom is at hand. We are going to continue our trek through the Bible here, which is what we do most days. And we're going to start in another book today. We're going to start and jump to the New Testament. Having just left off Ecclesiastes, we're jumping into Galatians, and we're at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. We're just beginning. "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ." Now, I'm reading out of the Authorized King James Version of the Bible. I believe that it is the best Bible translation we have for English-speaking peoples anywhere on the planet. One, it may not be any better than, say, the Geneva Bible or some other Bibles, but I have a tool with this one. To me, it's not much different than other good translations of the Bible, except for I have this tool. I'm using eSword here right now, and I usually use eSword when I do this broadcast because it's much more convenient to search and to see and to mouse over the Strong's Concordance letters. You can get eSword by going to e-sword.net and download the program there. It's free. It's not really free. There are people that give, and I have to admit I've given to help support the work there, because I've taken advantage of it for many years, and you should give there. So, you know, make sure that if the Heavenly Father wants you to give there. Or know that if you give here to First Amendment Radio, that some of your money went to eSword. You can do it that way, too, because I occasionally make a gift to eSword, but e-sword.net. When you download the program, you'll get the authorized King James Version of the Bible. And with that, it's the King James Version Plus. And I believe the regular King James without the letters comes with it, too. They finally updated it so you can have that. And for copying and pasting, say if you're doing writing documents, writing studies, and things where you need to copy without the letters, it comes in very handy. So you can open that up and you can follow along. And so I'm going to mostly read. I might once in a while comment on the name or something like that. But mostly I'm going to stick to the authorized King James Version English. I don't believe it's wrong to say some English words like God. I believe that God is the proper word to interpret the Hebrew Elohim or the Greek. And the Greek there is Theos. I believe that God is the proper word, just as Theos is the proper translation into Greek from the word El or Elohim. So I'm not going to intersparse a lot of foreign language words. I believe that the Holy Ghost demonstrated this, my position, and that's why it is my position. I like to get my position, if I'm going to have one, I like to get it from the Scripture itself, from the Word of the Almighty. And I see that in the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on everyone at that day, and the brothers, the apostles, were up there preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and that the Messiah was risen from the dead, that it was proclaimed that everyone heard in their own language. That's right, there were many men from other nations round about Israel there at that time on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell on the people there. It was quite an occasion. I would have loved to have been there, but they proclaimed there was a gifting of tongues, and the gift worked like this. The apostles would be up there speaking in Hebrew, their own national language, to their own Hebrew people there in Israel and Judea. And those who came from outside, from other lands and other tongues, if a Greek came, he would hear everything they said in Greek. If someone came from the land of the Chaldeans, he would hear in his own Babylonian tongue. Whatever his native tongue was, he heard in his tongue the word of the Almighty by that gifting of tongues. Okay, there's two different kinds of tongues spoken of in the Scripture, and this is the one that came upon them on Pentecost. It wasn't people babbling in an unknown language, so everyone could be confused. It was them speaking in their own language, their native tongue, Hebrew, and everyone else who was of the other languages, who had other native tongues, heard in their own language, and they marveled. So thereby signifying that the Almighty ministers His word in every language to every people. He doesn't need to intersparse it. There are no forbidden English words. There are no forbidden Greek words. When you're using the word, the appropriate, now, if I could have heard in that day, or someone would have recorded in Greek, and that's what I believe we have in the Gospels, because they were transmitted to the people in the Greek language. That was the language that the Almighty chose, and I believe that we have that in the Greek. So we have a record there in the Greek of how they would have heard the Gospel if there were Greeks there on that day. At least, I can speculate that much without believing that I'm going into any gross error. So the language. It's all right to say heaven. It's all right to say, well, hallelujah, that's Hebrew. And that traverses every language, or some words do. Now, I like to say Yahshua when I open the program, because I understand that's the proper pronunciation of his name. But I'm not afraid to say Jesus, because I know that that is a translation of his name through several transitions throughout history. And we come to the Jesus today. No, I don't have to gnash my teeth to say certain English words like I've heard someone say. Don't be afraid to speak English. But at the same time, don't reject the true pronunciation of the name, Yahuwah, God, the Almighty, the name, the Tetragrammaton, the 3068 from the Hebrew Old Testament. It's a beautiful thing. Although I don't like to say it a whole lot, I believe there's a danger when people just, they read through the text of the Bible and they want to insert the name everywhere when the name is not inserted everywhere. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament gives us variations on the name. Yes, Yah, simply, Y-A-H, Yahuwah, Yahuwee, even. And as you go through the Old Testament, as we went through, I pointed some of those differences out. So anyway, just some notes before we take off here into Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. We're in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. There is a present evil world, undeniable. And in the contrast to that, this present evil world, the Gospels call it the realm of darkness, that men who dwelled in the realm of darkness saw a great light. We see the elements of the same gospel that was preached by the Messiah in the Gospels of itself. Perhaps it's presented a little differently in the wording here. This present evil world, he delivers us from this present evil world. We are delivered now from this present evil world, but we are in this present evil world, but we are not of it. And that's how we are delivered from it, that we are in the world, but not of it. And he says, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel, Paul, now getting to his first subject, the first subject of his letter, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are plenty of gospels out there in the world today. There's the gospel, the getting rich gospel, the name it and claim it gospel. There's the gospel of seeking experiences. Some people just want experience. They chase experience. They go to this thing and that thing to visit, to have some spiritual experience. They're trying to feel the gospel, and they get an emotional high from it, and then they want to feel that all the time. There are people who chase signs. They're constantly looking for a sign. They're constantly looking for a healing. They're looking for the miraculous all the time. And there are plenty of people to cater to all of these different gospels. There's the gospel of which I speak of often, of, you know, repent so you can go to heaven when you die gospel. That's a little bit different. It's kind of close, but it's just a little bit perverted from repent for the kingdom is at hand to repent so you can go to heaven when you die. Just a slight perversion of the gospel there. They lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter. Another gospel. Paul continues, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Messiah, the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed. he pronounces a curse on them. He doesn't say exactly what it is. I look at the Greek here, and it is the anathema. Let them be anathema, excommunicated, accursed, a curse. So let them be anathema. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man, he emphasizes here, he repeats the message. He wants them to clearly understand what he's saying. This is very important. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. He said, I came with the brethren. We planted in Galatia a church, and we preached a gospel to you. If anyone's come with a different gospel, a different message, another twist on it perhaps, let them be accursed. And he says it twice. For do I now, he asks the question, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We cannot be man pleasers. If we seek to please men, then we cannot please the Almighty. We are not the servant of the Messiah. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that is Yahshua, our Messiah. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past with the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And you'll remember, see, Paul here is repudiating his past, and the Messiah, he's talked about the traditions. He said, you do, when he was speaking of to Paul's contemporaries there in the temple or wherever he met them. And that one occasion, I believe he said, you do by your traditions make the law of God of none effect. Paul, walking in those traditions as he was taught by his father, as he says, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, he walked in those traditions, but converted by the Messiah himself, not by men. He continues, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And you know, a lot of people do that. You preach a message to them, or you teach them about the law of God and they don't know about it. You know, like I try to explain to people, yes, the dietary laws are affirmed in the Gospels and in the New Testament. And the law of Moses is affirmed in the New Testament. All the commandments are affirmed there. And yes, the New Testament does tell us that the ceremonial law was satisfied and fulfilled in Messiah and completed, so that there's no more need for the ceremony, that he put an end. But people, they immediately run and they confer with their preacher or someone who they esteem in the corporate church. And they'll hear something like, oh, that, you know, the law was nailed to the cross. Or they'll jump into the scripture and they'll go, well, say, well, you know, the Bible says that if you pray over it, it's sanctified by the word of God. That's a little bit of a twist and a perversion of the word. It says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But they just twist it a little bit to get the other understanding that they want out of it. But that's what people do. They immediately confer, because really they're conferring with flesh and blood to pacify the position that they already hold. They don't want to consider it or search it out for themselves or believe that, what they were taught was not true or that they might be in error. It's a very common thing. When people told me things that went against what I was taught in the corporate church, I immediately conferred with men, the ones that taught me. And they would explain it to me again, and they would reaffirm the position that I had been taught. But then I started teaching the Bible and reading it and started doing what I'm doing right now. And I thought, well, I can't turn to men. I have to affirm it through the Scripture. And that's where I started having problems. I stopped conferring with flesh and blood, and I conferred immediately with the Word of God. And Paul says here, I conferred not with flesh and blood. So if you're listening to this broadcast, or you hear this broadcast, or you watch my videos, you visit my website, and you read some articles, don't confer with men. Confer with the Word of God. Search it out for yourself. That's why I always like to include enough material so people can at least begin to search it out for themselves. Because that's what I found. When I conferred with the Word of God about the rapture doctrine, you know, a pre-tribulation rapture, I couldn't find a... I found the when the last trump sounds, the dead in Messiah, the dead in Christ will... the dead in Christ will rise first, then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And so this happens at one point. They're caught up together. First, the dead in Christ, I guess, because they have to be stood up and I don't know how that's all going to work, but I know he's going to do it. And whoever's alive and remains at that time, they're changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, but they're caught up together. There's no pre-last trump resurrection. It is the last trump event. It is the resurrection of the dead. I got that from conferring with Scripture. We'll continue here when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border.